Chapter 2. In Santa Croce. It was lovely to wake up in Florence, Lucy thought, to open the shutters and see the spring sun on its beautiful hills, trees and churches. Below her, the wide waters of the Arno moved quickly past. She came down to breakfast to find Miss Bartlett already there. She was listening to the clever lady who was writing a novel. The novel seemed to be about a girl called Leonora who was on holiday in Florence. "I am still a bit tired from the journey," Miss Bartlett said as Lucy sat down. "And I think we should rest a little this morning. But if you would prefer to go out..." "I would love to go out," Lucy replied. "But I can go alone while you rest." They were starting to argue again when the clever lady, whose name was Miss Eleanor Lavish, said, "Why don't I take you out, Miss Honeychurch? I know the real Florence and do not need a guidebook." Miss Bartlett seemed happy with this idea, and as soon as Lucy finished her breakfast, she and Miss Lavish left the Pension Bertolini. They walked along the Arno together. "Can you smell that? It is the smell of Florence," said Miss Lavish. "I hope it is a nice smell," replied Lucy, who liked things to be clean. "You do not come to Italy for nice things," cried Miss Lavish. "You come for life." Then she moved quickly through the streets, with Lucy behind her. But a few minutes later, Miss Lavish stopped and said, "Oh dear, we are lost. Now this is really an adventure." "Shall we ask someone for directions?" said Lucy, who wanted to see the Church of Santa Croce.
"Ask someone?" cried Miss Lavish. "Of course not! We will just walk and see what happens."
And so they walked through the grey-brown streets, stopping in the square of the Annunciata to stare at its famous statues and fountains. After a while, they continued walking until they finally arrived at the beautiful black-and-white church of Santa Croce. They were moving towards its steps when Miss Lavish stopped and waved to someone.
"There's my friend! I must go and speak with him."
And suddenly, she was running after an old Italian man. Lucy waited for 10 minutes until she saw Miss Lavish and the man disappear down a side street. Feeling angry and unhappy, Lucy decided to enter Santa Croce alone. "How will I find my way around without a guidebook?" she thought. "I may never be in Florence again. How will I get home?" She was walking between the other tourists, not understanding or knowing what she was looking at, when she suddenly heard a voice she knew.
"Hello! What are you doing here?"
It was old Mr. Emerson and his son.
"I came here with Miss Lavish," cried Lucy. "But she went off with someone, and I had to come in by myself."
"Why shouldn't you come in by yourself?" said his son, speaking to her for the first time.
"But Miss Lavish has taken away my guidebook."
"If you've no guidebook," said the son, "you should join us."
"Thank you very much," said Lucy. "But I cannot do that. I only want to say thank you for giving us your rooms last night. I hope it did not give you too much trouble.
My dear, said the old man in a kind voice, you don't really think this. Now, stop being so boring and tell us which part of the church you want to see.
This was very bad manners, and Lucy knew that she should be angry. But it was difficult to be angry with an old man.
It is the Giottos that I want to see.
The son nodded and began walking to the Peruzzi Chapel. Lucy felt like a schoolgirl following her teacher. The chapel was already filled with a large group of people. They heard a man's voice talking loudly about Giotto.
Remember, he said, that these frescoes are not perfect, but that does not matter. What could be more beautiful?
That's not true, cried Mr. Emerson in a much louder voice.
The workmen were not paid enough, that's all.
The first man was a clergyman. He came out of the chapel and did not look at Mr. Emerson. With his group were the two little old ladies, Miss Catherine and Miss Teresa Allen, from the pension.
George, isn't that clergyman Mr. Eager? Said Mr. Emerson. I should say sorry.
And he ran after him. My father makes everyone angry, George said to Lucy. But he is only trying to help. Then he began to walk up and down. For a young man, his face was hard, but sometimes it became very soft and sad. He was tall and strong, and for a moment Lucy thought of him above her head, painted on the Sistine Chapel in Rome. Mr. Emerson came back, and they continued around the church. Mr. Emerson and Lucy walked ahead.
My boy is very unhappy, he said suddenly. He thinks that things are wrong with the world.
Oh dear, replied Lucy.
How can he be unhappy when he's strong and well? Mr. Emerson continued. What more can I give him? I taught him not to believe in religion, which starts only hate and wars. That will be enough for him to be happy, I thought.
Lucy thought that he was a very silly old man, and her mother would not like her talking to him.
Now, don't be stupid about this, he continued. I don't need you to fall in love with my boy, but you could try to understand him. You are near his age, and if you relax, you could help me. You are here for some weeks. By understanding George, you may learn to understand yourself. It will be good for both of you.
Lucy, feeling shocked, did not know how to answer. That afternoon, it rained for a while, and Lucy stayed in the pension and played the piano. She closed her eyes and enjoyed losing herself in the music. Finally, the rain stopped, and Lucy decided to go out. She walked around the streets alone, feeling sad. Nothing ever happens to me, she thought, as she entered the Piazza Signoria and looked around at its beautiful buildings. But then, something did happen. Two Italians were on the steps arguing. They began fighting, and one was hit softly in the chest. He looked shocked and turned towards Lucy with an open mouth. Suddenly, something red came out of his mouth
and ran down his neck. People came forward and carried the man to the fountain. She saw George Emerson looking at her. But then everything began to move from side to side and fall.
"What have I done?" thought Lucy, and opened her eyes.
She was in George Emerson's arms, and he was looking down at her.
"You fainted," he replied. "How do you feel now?" "I'm very sorry. I feel well, I think."
"Then I'll take you home." He walked her slowly back to the pension. When they were close to home, he said with a troubled face, "Something huge has happened, and I want to know what it is. It is not about a man dying." Lucy suddenly felt strongly that she had to stop him from saying more. "It has happened," he repeated.
"Mr. Emerson," he turned to her. "I want to ask you something before we go in," she said. "I'm sorry, but you know how those ladies talk. Please don't tell them what happened with us today."
"Yes, all right."
"Thank you. How quickly these accidents come, and then we go back to the old life."
His answer was strange. "I won't. I shall probably want to live." Lucy turned towards the river, feeling confused, and the sound of the water brought a strange music to her ears.